Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for another Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen special. Now, here's Deidre.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. This is Chat with Deidre. I am Miss Florida reporter at Lifetime. And I'm here tonight with another guest, G.W. Tolley. Thank you so much for being on tonight.
Thank you, Deidre, for having me on.
Yeah, I actually got to interview you last year, so this is kind of like another follow-up interview. I know you're an author. You have about 16 books published. You self-publish. You're the founder of Hanan Ministries, a TV host, speaker. You're also a hearing-impaired and deaf advocate. So you have different hats that you wear, and I think that's so awesome. And you're so passionate about the Lord, so I just want you to talk about your faith. Just let us know, like, what your faith means to you, and what is it like to share it with others in the different platforms that you hold.
There are a lot of hats that I wear, and it sometimes gets a little confusing, but it all gets done. I think it's with faith. There's when I was younger, I didn't understand. But then as I went through life and the different things I was going through, I reverted back to where my mom and dad pray. They took me to church. And so when things wasn't working with the world, then that's where I had to change direction. And so that's where my life basically just turned around.
Yeah, so growing up, and you have your parents, you have their faith, and that's influencing your life. What was it like just hearing your parents' faith and then, you know, being dragged to church, but then finally accepting it for yourself?
Yeah, because when I was younger, I didn't want to go to church, and my mom would come and wake me up, and then my dad would come in, and he would turn on the light, and if I still didn't get up, then he would come in with a wet wash rag and basically, you know, throw the covers off the bed and drag me out of bed. So I went away from the church for about 20-some years. And like I said, I went down a lot of bad roads and ended up in a lot of bad places. So things got just reverted back. And, you know, it just made a major difference. And I think just having a relationship with God, that was the whole thing, because I had never done that before.
Right. Yeah, that definitely changes everything. I love how we start off at one point, and then God just uses certain things in our life to show us His glory and show us His goodness. I know that you dealt with not being able to hear before your second year of high school, so you went through being hearing impaired for a long time. And so what was that like for you growing up with not being able to hear? And, you know, did you use ASL, like American Sign Language, as part of your life? And like, how did others around you have to adjust to you having to learn a different way to communicate?
Yeah, I had a lot of earaches when I was young, and then they had actually taken out my tonsils to see if that would correct it. And so I was constantly having shots or medicine, and it was a slow, progressive thing where it was like the hearing just kind of started going a little more, and they just thought that in school that I didn't want to pay attention, that I was bored, and I would doodle. And so, you know, I basically was failing, you know, English, failing grammar, punctuation, and everything. And then it finally got to a point where everything I was doing was so loud. You know, I was speaking very loud. The TV was really loud. And my mom had taken me to a specialist, you know, back to the doctor and said, take him to a specialist. And that's when they found out that it was about 90% hearing loss. And they did surgery right then and there. And they couldn't numb my ear. they just stuck a big needle down in there and busted the eardrum, and then had to vacuum everything out. And then they put in tubes, and then everything was really loud. But I never did the sign language, but I can read lips. And so without my hearing, my eyes actually picked up on different, they became my ears, my hearing.
Wow, that is incredible, like, to just go through all that and then having to learn a different way to communicate. I've actually been watching this show called Sue Thomas FBI. I don't know if you ever seen that, where, you know, she was hearing impaired, but she worked for the FBI and she could read lips and she could also talk. And I just find that so fascinating. But you received a miracle. Did the Lord heal your ears? And like, what was that experience like?
It's, you realize how much you really miss out on. And then sometimes there's a lot of people talking around you, you know, you wish you had a little dial where you could turn it down. But it really made me to where I'm very observant and I can read people. And that was what happened last year. For 7 weeks, my hearing went away. And, you know, I'd ask God, why is this happening? And he wanted me to look up the death of hearing impaired and deaf, because during the pandemic, everybody's wearing a mask. So not only could they not read lips, but they didn't know what was going on. So when everything was shut down, when you can't hear, you're basically isolated in your own mind. It's like wearing headphones where you can't hear. So if you ever do that, then just see the world from a different point of view, because you're like in a bubble. You see things moving around, you see things happening, but you know, your brain just doesn't pick up on what's going on. So there was a lot of people killing themselves during that time because they were just panicked. And so out of that, I created a hearing impaired and deaf awareness campaign to let everybody know what was going on. But also, when you wear a lot of the earbuds and different things, people's hearing is slowly going away. So they're saying, I can't remember what year it is, but there's going to be a lot more hearing impaired people because of all the devices now that where we stick in our ears.
Yeah, that's definitely true. We always have parents saying, that's too loud, turn it down. I know I have a problem with that. So but that's so interesting that, like, I didn't even think of that. You know, people who read lips during the pandemic, they were not able to read lips. And that is being, like, lost in your own world because you can't communicate. So the communication that we have with humans, I think we all realize how important it is to see each other's face, and that we've progressed so much as human beings in learning how to do things through, like, talking and looking through each other, communicating. And the pandemic definitely showed us what it could do to mental health and the way people live. So I think that's incredible how you started this, hearing impaired and deaf, being a deaf advocate. Have you, like, personally met, you know, people, and have any cool stories of how you were able to advocate for them in that time, in this time?
Yeah, so I had actually went to I think it's Wycliffe, and I had to take one of my books over there for the Christian Chamber of Commerce president. She was going to write the foreword for that book, and I still couldn't hear during that period of time, and ended up over there, and they actually translate the whole Bible for the whole entire world. And I ended up in the room with the hearing impaired, with the Braille, and that was a very interesting place to end up when I was having, you know, a hard time hearing. Because it does throw off the dynamics when someone's wearing a mask and you're still trying to hear what they're saying. It's muffled. And so then, you know, I ran into a lot of people that could do sign language. So it's very cool to watch that. There's just something so beautiful to watch the sign language.
Yeah, I'm just glad that, you know, there are people advocating for them and that they were able to receive help, because that's not something that you hear on the news. and that you hear people advocating for. So that is incredible.
And I think when we go through personal, you know, events in our lives, we can either continue going on through it, or, you know, it creates a cause and brings awareness to it.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I love that. I'm all about advocacy and awareness of things, but that's so important. And it what keeps us moving forward and helping people in need that, you know, really need it. And, you know, I love that you experience a lot of different things in your life, like identity theft, getting laid off a job, losing a loved one, homelessness, living with a family of nine. And then God, you know, he really spoke with you in that time. But during a time like that, like, what are you dealing with at that time in your life where you're going through all these different things?
That was a roller coaster of emotion. I mean, you're going through depression, because when I was young, my prayer was, God, take me. I didn't want to live because I was bullied, called names, stupid. And so it brought back some of those emotions again to where, you know, when you're hungry and I moved 8 times in 10 years. And when you live with a family from, you know, Craigslist, there's nine, you know, a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old. When my mom had passed away, it's hard to be sad when there's children around. But still, there was just things that I was still dealing with. I was dealing with pride because I wouldn't go to the food bank where I volunteered. And there was just a whole lot of emotions. It was a roller coaster because I couldn't control anything. And I felt like I was just in a big tidal wave that was just going round and round and round. And I came back to that point of where I didn't want to live again.
Yeah. So what got you through that? Like, what got you out of that situation?
I had fallen asleep while driving. And after I had worked an overnight doing inventory, and it was like the most peaceful sleep at a red light, but I had traffic backed up every which direction. And believe it or not, in Florida, nobody blew the horn at me. And when I woke up, I went on home. So then the next day, I didn't make it to that point. My car had gone off. Before that happened, I was just like, I was praying again. I'm just so tired. You know, I'm done. I surrender everything. And it was that prayer again. And so I fell asleep. My car went off the road. Right before it hit a telephone pole with a transformer on it, someone called. My phone didn't ring. It actually flashed. And it woke me up, and I got back onto the road, and I answered the call. It was on my screen in my car. And the person said, God told me to call you, that you're in danger, and your divine life purpose is much needed in the world. Mm-hmm. And I can't hang up the phone until you're parked.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is crazy.
And that was a major turning point.
That was a major turning point. So after that, like, what did you do after that?
It was the book one was already finished. There was another company that had came and hired me, and They actually were an atheist company, and they're worldwide. They're about 150 years old. And God just started working on me. He was just breaking things off of me. And it just gave me a new understanding to get in the Word, to read, and just try to be a better, positive person. Because before, when I would have problems and all the things, you know, when the police shows up to your house and, you know, you're going to prison because someone's, you know, it was over $27,000 on the credit card. And, you know, all the things that I went through, I just dealt with it with alcohol. And so I was just a menace to society, basically just causing issues everywhere I went, throwing out of so many bars and so many places. But it was just time for a change, because when you get sick and tired, you know, you're just sick and tired. And And so with this job, it gave me an opportunity to do better. And it was a blessing for me. So, you know, it was just amazing because the sales were just coming in. And let me tell you, when things are going well, it's easy to have faith. And when things are going really wrong and you're scraped across the bottom, sometimes you just think that, you know, nothing's going right, that God doesn't love you, He's not there, He's not listening, that, you know, you've done something wrong. But, you know, that's just a lie from the enemy. But during that time, I was just blessed with sales, and it just increased, and I was even given the President's Award.
Wow. That's so cool. I love how God can take us so far when we just leave our lives in His hand and leave our journey and our path in His hand. And the fact that He sent someone to literally save you from crashing and almost dying, and to just let you know, like, your life has a purpose and a plan, and then for you to see that come to fruition. I mean, that just shows the power and the love and grace of the Lord. And that's so important to talk about. And it's great that you have all these books and that you learned to self-publish. So how did you learn to self-publish and take that leap of faith to just start writing and publishing your own book?
The first book was done through a publishing company, and they charged, it was around $1,800. And so I made payments every month for a year until the payments were done. Then they published the book. And so my, you know, a lot of friends were, they were saying, you don't have money to eat. Why are you publishing a book? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was just a baby that was placed inside of me, and it was going to come out no matter what. And I had to get the stories out. So then the second book, it was actually released at the City of David in Israel in 2019. But it was, again, more stories of things that had happened to me that just really needed to be told. So if people are going through something similar or the same thing, that they could see what was going on. So that one was actually done, and I used a printing company. So there was a lot of lessons I learned from what I had to turn in for the first book. And then the second book, there was a lot more that I had to learn. And then when my corporate job ended due to COVID and they laid our whole entire team off, that's when the books really started pouring out, the stories and different things. And there was a lot of research, and I mean, there was a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of things I had to learn and how to dig up information and just constantly researching. And I have, you know, just folders of failures. But, you know, those are the things that you learn from. And so then it started with book three, book four, and then the self-publishing book started coming out. And then there was audiobooks, and that was a whole new curve. And then there was also the Udemy trainings. So it was just a lot of research and a lot of just going forward. But, you know, one of the things, if you don't know your why you're writing the book, and mine was to share stories with other people to help. Because if you're looking just to make money, it's going to cost a lot of money, and you're going to be very discouraged all the way through. Because when something happens and you can't get these books going forward, you could just give up. But, you know, we all have a purpose and a passion. So if it's not writing books, but it could lead to other things. And that's where even like the TV show, it's all about testimony. And that's what the books are about. It's about testimony. So the second book on the left-hand side is blank. So when you're reading my story on the right-hand side, you can actually write your feelings or whatever you're thinking. And by the time you get finished, you will have written a book.
That's awesome. I love that interaction when you're reading a book. And so, yeah, I love how you just, you know, keep going, and your whole purpose, you know your why, you want to get it out there. And so I definitely am curious about one book that I see here. It's called The Two Paths Rainbow Road, or The Narrow Path. Well, how did you come up with the idea for this book? Because I think it's very interesting.
That one, there was a lot of controversy of people saying things. And when I would be out partying, you know, I would see the people that were, they were just had megaphones saying you're going to hell and these different things. And it's, you know, that's not one of the things that, I think that's what pushed me away. And then in some of the churches, you know, I would go to, just hearing the judgmental things that was said and some of the hypocrites, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I think it just comes back to knowing the word and what it says. And it's not just beating somebody with something. It's going through and explaining, you know, that we weren't made this way. And even the narrow path, there's going to be, I think, a lot of people shocked that some of the things they were doing. But it was, again, just the controversy of things that I was hearing. And I'm like, this is not out of love. You know, it's sin is sin, and a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of sin. You know, it's like talking about other people. There's a multitude of things, judging people and different things. And that's how that book came out of it.
That's good. That's definitely something that we need in this time. Because I think like, a lot of people are just confused and kind of almost celebrating sin. Like, oh, sin is okay. And sometimes people don't know what's right and what's, you know, what's holy and what's not holy. And so we always definitely as Christians need to be drawn back to the Word of God and what He says. And, you know, because He says, be holy as I am holy. And to just, you know, figure out, like, what is holiness, and it definitely always comes from His Word, especially with the fast pace of information that we have here. Everyone can just, you know, talk so much about things and spread things online, and so I always just definitely encourage people, go back to the Word of God, because the world is always going to say something opposite of what His Word says, or just going to confuse people, but the Word of God is brings light, and so that's awesome to just, you know, encourage people, look at the Word of God, and definitely the narrow road is not easy, but it's definitely where we want to go, because that's where the Lord is. So, yeah, just before we go, do you have any upcoming projects, or, like, where can we find more of your books or your social media?
Yeah, so on Facebook and different social media, it's under GW Tolley or Productions by Faith. And then on Amazon, it's under GW Tolley. And the next project we're working on is actually the book I Am Josiah. And Josiah in Hebrew means God supports and Yahweh has healed. And that book is all about, would you like to be a Josiah? And it just goes through and it just shows you different things of, you know, how to get into God's Word. But the next project coming up is actually the film.
That's so cool. We'll be definitely looking out for that. Thank you so much, GW. Hope you have a blessed night.
Hey, you too. Thank you.